action item, and it's going to be the COVID guidelines and masking requirements.
And
Mr. Kinsler is going to do a small.
Okay. Go ahead.
Jody, can you hear me? Perfect.
Board member five is still muted, just so you know. I don't know if that's raging.
Yeah, I had to mute everybody. Okay. I unmuted all.
All right, so let's get started. Everybody on Zoom, I'm assuming you can hear now.
Yeah. We can hear you, Craig.
So I have a short presentation. Well, I don't know how short it is, but I have a presentation to talk about where we are with the masking mandate. So next page. All right, so just some reminders. The district and state goal has always been that all students must have access to safe and full in-person instruction to as much instructional time as possible. So again, the question about the masking mandate, a lot of people said, is it a local decision or a state decision? It is required by the state in all TK through 12 schools and on buses. For staff, all staff are required to wear facial coverings in the presence of students based on the CDPH guidelines. We currently have all staff vaccinated or not wearing the facial covering in the presence of students. Beale Air Force Base, they moved from Bravo or something like that. I'm sorry, I'm not military, but I think that's what it was. Which means that everybody at Beale Air Force Base, if they're inside a building, whether there are students present or not, if they're inside a building, they must wear a mask, whether they're vaccinated or not. So we're adhering to that directive right now at elementary school. That started on Friday of last week. And then if you looked at the agenda, we did receive a letter. I talked about this at the last board meeting that we were probably going to get something. So we received a letter about the mask mandate, which has some significant implications that I'll talk about here in a second. So just reiterating what this August 11th state order is for staff, vaccinating verification for all staff, TK through 12th grade, both public and private schools. District is required to verify all staff through a verification card or a QR code. For any teacher staff that are not fully vaccinated, we are going to have to start testing them once a week. As of the order on August 11th, this has to be implemented no later than August 15th. So we are in the process currently of trying to come up with a testing protocol in order to test. We currently have 131 employees that have verified their vaccination, and we have 89 employees that have yet to provide vaccine verification, so they are considered unvaccinated, and we'll have to test weekly. Now, that number is going to change, I'm sure, but that's what we currently have that's turned them in. Next page. So here's a synopsis of the letter we received from the CDPH director, Dr. Thomas Argon. The letter outlines the legal requirements for schools to fully implement universal masking, noting that legislature has expressed and authorized the California Department of Public Health to issue mandate public health directives carrying the full force of law to prevent the spread of a communicable disease, including COVID-19. And the CDPH guidance for K-12 schools was issued pursuant to that authority. The letter goes on to summarize the scientific evidence that they believe strongly supports universal masking, that schools face substantial legal, financial, and other risks. This is what I talked a little bit about last time. They basically threaten your funding and they will go after the employees. And then under this provision, schools retain the flexibility to tailor the protocols for enforcing the mask requirement to their local circumstances. That's what it said before. What they've added is the letter indicates that school districts do not have the discretion or authority to opt out of enforcing the requirement. Next page. So not always just CDPH, I called our legal team, which we employ lawyers in all school districts. Well, we don't employ them, we hire them. They said failure to follow the mask, the mandatory public health directive will expose schools and school leaders personally to substantial legal and financial risks, including liability would exist if the refusal to implement the mask requirement causes a staff member to contract COVID-19. Civil lawsuits have by concerned families and staff compelling them to comply with the guidance, and certificated individuals, including school administrators, may be subject to the referral of the Commission of Teacher Credentialing for disciplinary action for violating the mandate, legal duty to implement masking requirements, and knowingly exposing students to preventable harm. So the other thing that's come out is a modified quarantine, which is really kind of the crux of all of this that we're going to talk about tonight, is that you'll see in a page how many students we currently have out of school, and the majority of them are out because they were next to, considered a close contact to a student that tested positive. Let there be no, just understand that the amount of positive tests we are getting is tenfold to what we've ever received in the first part of the pandemic. And I'll talk about the numbers here in a minute. So in the new guidance, this is what they're saying about the modified quarantine, which is basically to be able to keep kids in school. So the first part of the question is the positive person within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes? Well, if they're in a classroom, they're within 6 feet. So the answer is yes. If it were no, then they wouldn't be a close contact and they don't have to move on. So you don't have to answer any more questions. If you go to the next one, if it's yes, they are a close contact. The next question is, were both the positive student and the close contact wearing a mask? If the answer is no, which is currently what's happening in our district, the answer is no, the close contact must quarantine for 10 days. If the answer is yes, which is currently what's happening on the Lone Tree, then the close contact gets to stay in school under a modified quarantine. Student may continue in-person instruction as long as they continue to wear a mask, and they will be tested two times per week for 10 days after exposure. In both cases, so in the 10-day quarantine and the modified quarantine where they're at school, if they test after the fifth day, so I don't know why they say it this way, but after the fifth day, which would be the sixth day, they test negative, then they can end their quarantine and return after the seventh day, which would be the eighth day. So in both those cases, they can either end their testing protocols after day six, because they're already still in school, or they would have to be tested on day six if they're not in school, and if they're negative, then they can return to school on the eighth day. Okay, next one. So what is our current COVID situation look like? It changes hourly. We currently have 7 staff members that tested positive for COVID. 6 are currently out. 7 classified school employees that are positive for COVID. 6 are currently out. 1 is returned. Certificated employees, so that would be teachers, counselors, etc. We have 7 as well. 4 are still out. 3 have returned. At Bear River, we currently have 10 students who have tested positive. 8 are out, and 2 have returned. We have over 65 close contacts based on those 10 positive. So those students are all out for 10 days. At Wheatland L, we currently have 12 students that were tested positive. 11 are currently out, 8 were just from this weekend, and 1 has returned to school. Of those, because they don't mix classes, we have 47 students, and we're still tracing a couple. So we have 47 students that are out for 10 days due to being in close contact. At Lone Tree campus, we currently have 1 that tested positive today. And he's out. It happened on the weekend, so he's out. And there's 5 close contacts. 1 of those close contacts was in school, in the classroom. Both the COVID positive and the 1 close contact. The close contact gets to modify, so we'll be in school for the next 7 days with the testing protocol. The other 4 were not. This was at a birthday party this weekend, so the other 4 were at the birthday party. They weren't masked, so those 4 are out for 10 days. Today, our absences, just to show you as a reference, we currently have 155 students absent today at Bear River out of 582. So 27% of our students were not at school. Wheatland Elementary, we had 110 out of 353. So 31% of our students were not at school. Lone Tree has 54 students absent out of 352, so 15%. Wheatland Charter Academy has 9 students out of 89, so 10%. So approximately 24% of our students were not at school today. That's not all tied to COVID. Okay, some of that is close contact, some of it is parent situation, you know, extending the weekend, whatever. But there's 24% of our students did not attend school today. The majority of them are within that close contact range, along with the COVID positive kids. Staff-wise, we have 24 staff members out today. 17 of them are either COVID positive or a close contact to somebody who's COVID positive. We do not have substitutes available, so that makes it very difficult. So this brings me to my new recommendation. Based on the mandate letter, mainly the modified quarantine option, and the number of students and staff that are testing positive, in order to keep the majority of students in school, all students will be required, this is my recommendation, the board will not vote on it, all students will be required to wear a facial covering when indoors at school. The enforcement piece, so that we've always said it's a requirement. The enforcement piece is where we said we're not going to remove a child from the classroom if they don't wear one. So the enforcement piece would be kind of rolling into, at some point, maybe having to remove a child from the classroom. So right now, I would suggest we do a tiered approach. So if the student arrives to class without a facial covering, then 1 will be provided and they will be asked to wear it. If the student does not wear the facial covering, the student will be asked again to put it on by the classroom teacher or para. If the student doesn't comply with that in tier 2, then the teacher or para will have a private conversation with the student, preferably outside the door, and talk to them about why they need to wear that, or that they have to wear it, not necessarily why. Tier 4 would be if they don't comply to tier 3, then the student would be sent to the FRC, the Family Resource Center, or to the office for admin to remind them. Could be a counselor, to remind them of the mandate and ask them to comply with the mandatory mask mandate. Tier 5, if the student still does not comply with Tier 4, then the student, the administration, and parents will sit down and meet and discuss the situation. The student and parent will be asked to have the student comply with the mandatory mask mandate. And then Tier 6, if all the interventions above do not work, the student will not wear a facial covering while indoors at school. Then we will be offering a long-term independent study as an alternative. The student will not be allowed back in the classroom until they comply with the mandatory mask mandate or the mask mandate ends, whichever comes first. So my final thoughts before I open it up to the board is I'd like to remind everybody that my recommendation to the board tonight is based on our staff being required to follow the state mandate. They are required to enforce it because it is considered a legal mandate that came to us from the state as well as from our lawyers that it is a legal mandate. Not following it would jeopardize the district and the staff's own credentials. I will always do everything I can to advocate for our students' rights. I am still doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff through contacting legislators and through AXA, trying to get them to understand what's happening in the schools because these decisions are made without input from school districts. But the risk to the district and the staff is too high to just ignore it. We are the only district I can find in Northern California that has not fully implemented the mandate. Even Wheatland High and East Nick have found a fully masking while indoors effective last week. Well, East Nick effective tomorrow because they're coming back tomorrow. Most others did not ever give an option like we did. So yes, my recommendation has changed partly because of the letter from CDPH, but mainly it changed because it gives us the ability to keep kids in school with a modified quarantine. Any hostility towards a person or in person or on social media to district staff is not appropriate. Again, if you're angry, you're angry at the wrong people. We didn't develop the state mandate. We're only here to implement it. If the state mandate changes, then we will immediately look at those changes. If it lessens or reduces the mandate requirements, then we will implement those changes immediately. And again, if you decide to remove your children from the classroom because you do not want to follow the mask mandate enforcement, then we will work with you to provide long-term independent study program. The student would remain at home and will have some daily or weekly virtual instruction, but most of it will be independent work. We will need to see how many in each grade level choose this option, and then we can make a plan accordingly. The district knows and understands that long-term independent study is not the best solution for students, so we will try to make it as best we can. Next page. So that's it. That's what I have. My revised recommendations based on everything I've talked about. And I'll turn it over to the board. If you have any
questions or comments before we open the comments public.
I should also inform you that Regine Waltz, our board member, is here. She's on Zoom. So we do have all five board members.
I just have one question.
Yes.
What does the in-class quarantine look like for a student that is only on partial quarantine?
The modified quarantine?
The modified.
It looks like the student goes into the classroom. The agreement with the parent and the principal or nurse or whatever, they talk about the testing protocol, when it's going to happen, and the student's in class every day wearing their mask, just like every other student. So. We've actually implemented this. We had 21 students that were supposed to be excluded from Lone Tree School due to a COVID positive in the youth center on base. And because they were all masked, including the person who was COVID positive, 14 of them were able to come back to school and finish their quarantine within school. And they did testing. The high school allowed us to use their testing, so that was good. 8 of them, the parents chose not to do testing, and so they stayed out for the 10 days.
So if they come back on modified quarantine, they have to be tested twice during their quarantine?
Well, it says two times per week. So again, a lot of this is dependent on when weekends fall, but let's say a child today tested positive. They could go get tested this afternoon with a rapid test or a home test, show that they're negative, come back to school tomorrow, test again on Thursday, then test again on Tuesday of next week, and then they've met the beyond 5 days, and then they're done testing. So it's typically going to be three tests.
So just a question, this goes from TK through our eighth grade testing.
TK through 12.
So is the home, and I'm lame at this, the home testing, is it a nasal place too? So our little kids could ultimately have to have that test three times. But it's to stay in school. If anybody has any comment on the agenda, we just ask that you come up, state your name for the record, and what you have to say.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
It's okay.
Go ahead. Okay. So my name is Shawna Wagner. I come from Yuba City to fight for your children. Yeah. I think they're going to ever this shift today. Was for sexually trafficked children. But here I am wearing this shirt to protect these children from you.
No, not for us.
Okay, you're responsible, sir. Yes. I don't care if it's a state mandate or not. You cannot, your defense is not, I was just doing my job. That Nuremberg Code, Nuremberg Trials, okay, doesn't apply. Cerebral hypoxia is a low concentration of oxygen to the brain. What happens? Brain cells die. Brain damage begins. How long does it take for big brain damage to occur? Less than 10 minutes. And you want to ask our children. I am here on behalf of every child who's been forced to play the sinister game these last 18 months. Common sense should tell you that wearing something that suppresses your immune system, causes you to breathe in carbon dioxide, and deprives you of the necessary oxygen you need to function properly is harmful to anyone, but especially a developing child. So let's start with some very basics regarding COVID-19 in children. Children have a 99.995% recovery rate. According to John Hopkins, no child ages 0 to 8 has died from COVID-19. No, zero, no child. For those of us who think for ourselves and do not use the mainstream media as our source, information, there's plenty of facts, truth, and scientific data out there regarding all things COVID-19, all of which is being censored, which we know. You just need to look, and I have done just that. I've made it my job to research COVID-19, and I have 1,000 hours under my belt. So if you have any questions outside of here, I'd be happy to answer. Masks, vaccines, COVID-19. So instead of wasting everybody's time with what should be obvious reasons as to why we would never want to ask our children, I put together this 150-page binder for you. Inside, you'll find undisputed scientific data proving that masking our children is extremely harmful to their mental and physical health. I will also be leaving you with some very important documents and a very special book that ensures these children their God-given freedoms to breathe oxygen. And this is the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and the Bible. And if this binder isn't enough to persuade you to unmask our children, I use a little left-leaning logic to come up with a great solution to get rid of these ridiculous mandates. Let's follow the examples of our restaurants. Let's put everything white tins, the yard out here. Throw some tables and chairs and we'll take our children outside in school, right? There you go. Problem solved. When these children are left in your hands, it is your duty, your responsibility to take care of these children. You have a duty. We leave these children in your hands. 7 to 8, look at me now. 7 to 8 hours a day. But we don't work our butts off to provide for our families. We expect you, above anybody else besides our own family, to make sure these children are taken care of. Now that you've been given this time of proof, we the parents are demanding you stand up and strike down this mask mandate immediately. If you choose to ignore the data, then as parents, we have the right to hold you responsible for any damage done to our children, including and especially crimes against humanity. And if you're familiar with the Nuremberg Code and the Nuremberg Trials, you'll know that a defense of I was just doing my job or I didn't know any better is not going to fly. The CDC does not make laws, and this is where it coming down from. Okay? So keep in mind.
My phone's gonna die.
You're taking advice from the CDC, who does not have the right to make up laws. Let me leave you with this. I believe we are in World War III. This is a spiritual battle between good and evil. And you people are doing the works of the devil. If you're familiar with this book, then you know who wins this war. And it's not you. To the parents, you want to end this crap? You want to end this tyrannical crap? Take your kids out of school, start homeschooling co-ops, hire a conservative constitutional teacher that will teach your kids the appropriate information, the right crap, and this is going to be teaching in the school, and hit them where it hurts the most. They're pocketbook. If these people won't stand up for your children's rights, then take them out of school. Let them find a job for you.
So the majority of you guys know who I am. And I just gotta tell you, it's super, super weird for me to be here tonight. I'm sure you all understand that. I don't know if I've ever met you. My name is Joanna Lasaga, and my sister is Julie Tyler. So I am guessing that none of you signed up for this, being on a school board in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. Let's be honest, this has been no easy task for anyone involved. But at the end of the day, it's a position you all chose to accept. And your role, first and foremost, is to protect our children. The fact that you're having to do that in these times doesn't lessen your responsibility. If anything, it increases it. Part of the process by which you become a board member includes an oath of office, correct? Every single one of you swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the state and this country in accordance with Title 41 of the state code. And you all know that the Constitutions protect our inalienable rights, correct? Article 6, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution, otherwise known as the Supremacy Clause, states that the federal Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and any time a state makes a law that contradicts the federal Constitution, it is not withstanding, it's void. How about the Fifth Amendment? The right to due process is not violated. One's rights cannot be taken away without due process. The Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. The 14th Amendment, nor shall any state deprive a person of life, liberty, or property without due process. So where is all this mask mandate stuff coming from? It's an executive order. The governor claims this authority comes from the Emergency Health Powers Act. Well, this act clearly states the only way a person can be deprived of their rights even an emergency, is through due process. Quarantines, vaccines, masks, they cannot be forced. Furthermore, our system was designed with the three parts for a reason, so that one part never gets out of control. The executive branch in which the government is elected cannot make law. Would you say that you have an inherent right to breathe fresh air? Do you guys own the students? Are any of you qualified to diagnose a communicable disease? Do you have the consent from any of these parents to force their children to endure medical interventions? So we've established that you don't know the law, and you really don't seem to have the authority. Yet your policy, which is very far from anything considered to be law, which is in opposition to the Supremacy Clause, and clearly contradicts our God-given rights, protected by the 5th, the 9th, and the 14th Amendments. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in these orders that you're blindly following? It better be a 10, because every one of you can be held personally responsible, personally liable, by each and every one of the parents under Title 42, Section 1983, for deprivation of rights under color of law and simulated legal process. Depriving children of their rights is a serious crime, and the ignorance of the law is no excuse. Your confidence in forcing medical interventions on minor children without written consent of the parents better be a 10, because there are a number of moms right out here who clearly do not consent, and since you approve the policies, each one of you can be held personally liable. So I wasn't taught I went to week 9. I went to all through week. But I wasn't taught civics in high school. But believe me, when you mess with the mom's children, a whole new level of fury will be unleashed. Now, I can't believe that after reading this speech, I cannot believe that you want to call this a law. This is not a law, it's a mandate. Nothing. Where, show me in your role as the principal, where does it say that you have to follow CDC and CDPH guidelines? It doesn't. So it's your decision to make that. You can go on and you can say there's a mask mandate to follow the state's rules and appease the state, but don't punish these kids. They just want to be here. When I was little, we used to have chicken pox parties so that everybody would get infected. I mean, we probably went to that. That's all this is. These kids are going to get it, and then they're going to go away. Don't punish them for this. All they want to be is with their friends, and they want to learn. I've never seen so many kids who actually want to come to school and learn. How many teenage kids want to come and learn? And today they do, because you've been the whole year last year, and then now. So stop and think about the view from the little people. You're not protecting them. It's a virus. It's going to go through them, and they're going to be okay. So look at it from that point of view, instead of being an adult trying to mandate on top of these kids, because mandates aren't lost.
So online we have Lauren Lake. She says, are the tests administered by Wheatland Union High School sufficient for returning to class after isolation? And that she would much rather have her child wear a mask and get to stay in school than be sent home for 10 days at a time and over. That's what we have in the chat. So is it?
So the answer to the first question is yes. Administered at the high school is sufficient for returning to class after isolation.
Any other public comment? Any online comments? Any online people who would wish to speak?
If any of us have questions that have been decided, why don't we have Dr. Luke here to answer these questions before we go? Something is here. I think there's obviously research the board needs to do that was given to you guys. We need to open this further map of the table. I think you need Dr. Luke here to answer any questions that we have.
There is affidavit that you can sign, like the information where you can sign, and it's a criminal affidavit that would go to her for personally for Patty?
I'm not sure if I'm saying this to the board, yes I am, and to everyone. I didn't plan on talking.
Brenda, can you get this here? I mean, we know who you are, but.
But my name is Brenda Hyatt, and I have worked here for 4 years now. I'm very, very proud of what I do. I'm a school bus driver. I also am a preschool teacher. And I'm actually a friend of Craig Gansler's. And I am going to let everyone know here that I am not vaccinated. I don't plan to get vaccinated. With that, I am very, very familiar with a lot of the things that these ladies have talked about. And I thank you for presenting all of that here tonight. Now, with all of that, I know this isn't what Craig wants to do. I do believe that. I look at that binder. I'd actually love to have that binder, to be honest with you. My question tonight to the board is, are you open to possibly looking at something different? That's my question to the board. Open to just looking at the binder, taking some time to look. That's my question. Thank you very much.
My name's Lorraine Leonard. I hate talking in front of people, so I'm going to be really nervous up here. But I just have a couple questions. I didn't even know we were here for a vote. So you're here, you're voting whether or not to have masks, or is it already mandated? And you're, and that's it. Someone said something about a vote. Are you guys voting?
Okay, so we had, okay, so we, the state gave us a mask mandate that we are supposed to mask all of our students when they came back to school at the beginning of school. They let us control it at the local level. We voted to make it a parent option pretty much. The teachers still, I mean, we still enforced the mandate and offered students masks at every class, but it was up to the students if they wanted student choice. However, it has been brought back to the board because we got this letter and because we have so many kids out, and that if they were wearing masks, they wouldn't be quarantined. They could do the modified quarantine and still be in school. So that was what was brought to us, that, hey, maybe we need to really make sure that we do the mask thing, we don't give a choice, and that way kids aren't out of school for the 10 days. They have the option to come to school and then test twice. So that is why we are here tonight.
So are you, to revisit. I don't understand, are you voting tonight?
We are voting tonight.
So you're voting to decide whether you should mandate masks or not.
To enforce the mandate that's—
because there's a lot of kids missing school. When they miss school, then that impacts financial as well, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, is anything that anyone's gonna say gonna sway your mind, or are you guys pretty much set on how you wanna vote? Is everyone set on how they wanna vote? I'm just curious as the numbers, when I look at things like this, I'm not a medical professional, I'm just a mom. But what I look at is, okay, we have a lot of kids that got sick, like the flu spreads too. Could you give us more numbers? Like how many of those kids are in the hospital? Are any of them like really, really ill? Did any of them die?
Just the kids that case.
Just one case?
It's a case number.
Well, I'm just, no, I don't care about the numbers for the states. I'm just talking about our small community. Because we live in a small community and we all know each other. And I know if one kid was really ill, it'd be all of our friends at Wheatland. Like, right? And it would be plastered. And I haven't really heard anything. The kids that I know that have gotten sick, who called and told me that they've tested positive, don't even feel that sick. They're just at home playing video games. So I'm just curious if that makes a difference, because to me, that would make a difference to me. My husband doesn't think wearing a mask all day will do anything to our children. He's a painter, he wears masks a lot, he works for the state. Me personally, as a mom, I'm different. I have my own ideas. And it kind of bothers me that there's gonna be a mask over my child's face for 6 to 7 hours a day. And I'm wondering if that bothers you guys. I mean, you guys are parents. But ultimately, if you're telling me that you're gonna vote tonight, that's telling me that you know you do get to make the decision, but it isn't actually something that's in stone. And I just ask you that you look at all the relevant information. I know we're missing a lot of kids. And I know that's affecting people financially and that's a concern, but if kids aren't really getting sick to the point that they're going to the hospital and it's just a little virus, is it really something we need to do for an entire school? I would pull my child out. I did actually pull them out last year. He's on an IEP. He doesn't do well with virtual learning, so I'm homeschooled. But my kids woke up at 5 a.m. in the morning to come to school the first day and every single day since because they want to see their friends. So I just hope you take that into consideration. I do appreciate all of you guys and what you do. I don't have any harsh words or bad. I know this must be a really tough decision, but you have a room full of people here and not one has come up here and said, please mandate masks. Not one parent. I'm waiting for them. All of them are saying, please don't.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Christina Steinman, and I'm here as the parent of my son, Brayden, who is a student here. I first want to say that, you know, the mask mandate, it's awful. We all know this. You know, we all know that it's hard for students to learn when they're covered up and they're not comfortable. It's hard for students to learn to begin with. But what I wanted to come up here and say was thank you. Thank you for caring for our students. And also thank you for standing here and being beat up online in the building, because I understand that this mandate is not your choice. This mandate is not something that you wrote. It's something that came down from the state. We are a state-funded school. We agreed to abide by the laws of the state of California as part of coming to the school. So I understand that this is not ideal for everybody. I understand all of the arguments against the masks, but I just wanted to say thank you for having our students' best interests at heart, trying to juggle complying with the state and also trying to make the learning environment as great as can be in these unique times. So thank you.
Melanie will do some online questions.
Some of you don't know me, Melanie Johnson. I am one of the people who take care of your children at school. Our number one goal, and I think everyone can say this, is we want our children to school. If wearing a mask is the one thing that is going to keep our kids in the classroom, then why not do? Is it going to stop when our numbers get out of control and we're going to be shut down completely? And then we go back to this.
I want to thank you for being there to keep our children safe. And if that means wearing a mask,
I think it's the least you can do to keep this kids in school.
Tell us something else.
Okay, so we have online, where can we find the 20-day exclusion policy if you refuse your child to get tested if they have zero symptoms?
Sorry, I don't understand the question. What is the 20-day exclusion policy?
It's from Cassandra. It says, where can we find the 20-day exclusion policy if you refuse your child to get tested if they have zero symptoms?
If they are close contact, it's 10 days. The only reason it would be 20 days is if they had multiple family members and then the 10 days start over with each positive. But other than that, if it's a school related, it's a 10 day.
Can I interject on that?
Yes.
So if you have a positive family member living in the household, you have to wait for their 10 day infectious period to be over before the 10 day quarantine starts. So that's how it can get up to 20 days if they don't want to get tested. There is the option of testing, like we talked about earlier, on the day 6 to return home. So that's, but if you don't get tested, that's for that 20 days.
And just so you know, this is Angela Walsh, she's our district nurse, just so everybody knows that she is. Okay. Did I hear Mr. Ginsler say that home tests purchased at Walgreens, CVS, et cetera, are acceptable for testing purposes? It is becoming increasingly difficult to find testing appointments.
So for a modified quarantine, I'll clarify, for a modified quarantine, the rapid test and the home test are acceptable methods of testing. For close contacts that are showing symptoms, then they would need a PCR test. Because the way that the state and the county have ruled is that the rapid test and the home test are valid if they're positive. They're not valid if they're negative with symptoms.
So it really doesn't
happen. Yeah, it's odd, in my opinion. There's a lot of odd things that are happening, but that's an awesome thing.
Okay, we were told today by Wheatland L Health Aid that the COVID antigen kits are not acceptable to show a negative test result. Only PCR tests were acceptable. Mr. Ginsler just said home tests were okay. Which statement is correct?
One that I'm assuming one has something to do with.
So the guidance we got from the county is that yes, they are a little close contact. It's supposed to be a PCR test, not a factory. We have been trying to be more flexible in accepting the rapid test from the high school, but we again can't accept the negative tests from the test.
If you guys want to follow CDC and CDPH guidelines, then why don't you look on their website and they tell you that the PCR test is not valid. The guy that created the PCR test also said it is not made for COVID and it is not valid. So there's so much confliction between this whole thing. Can you, is this many days, is this test, it's not that test. The whole thing, let it play out, just let it lie. It would be really nice if you guys gave a tentative ruling, because if you gave a tentative ruling, you could end the meeting probably a couple hours earlier, or it could go longer to get.
Jenna Boardman, she's a teacher here in our district. Currently, students are allowed to take their masks off outside, but I cannot tell you how many students still wear their masks throughout break, walking from class to class at lunch in the morning. I would much rather not wear a mask, but the students are wearing them. They aren't complaining about it.
She asked me that.
My name's Greg Hart. No one in here is saying that we're anti-mask, anti-vaccine. We're saying we're pro-choice. Let us make our own decisions. They want to walk around with their masks. No one's giving them crap. No one cares. That's fine. That's their decision. They should be able to make that choice.
We need
name is Robin Burrow, and I have a student here. And my problem with the mask mandate is I bet you over 95% of the kids that have a mask on, they are not a proper mask, they are not fitted correctly, and they do not do the job. So why are we mandating a kid to just put a mask on to say they have a mask? Homemade masks, masks that are large for adults that the kids are wearing, they are filthy, they are disgusting. I was appalled at my own child last spring, one day when I took him to the bus and I saw him put that mask on, and I thought, what a horrible mom I am to allow that kid to put that filthy thing on.
My name is Eddie Young. I'm kind of asking two questions. First one is, what is the district policy on religious and medical exemptions?
So medical exemptions are acceptable for masks. They have to be done by a doctor. That's the ruling at the state level. I don't believe there are any religious exemptions for masks.
There's a church involved in that. So if they have a medical exemption, then they present it to you, they're allowed to come to school without masks. Okay. Second question is, on your presentation, you had a date of October 15th. Was that the date that the letter from the state said they had to comply?
That was the vaccination testing of staff. It had nothing to do with the mask mandate. It had to do with an August 13th ruling that said that we have to either have all of our staff vaccinated or test the ones that aren't.
Well, so the date you have to use, I would ask that you guys at least push the vote back to October 14th so you guys can review the information I was just giving to you and go from there.
No, not at all. I actually have a question. The mask mandate that we're talking about today, is this something that the school board is choosing to do, or is this something that has been directed by the state? Okay. Well, which
according to the letter that we received, and according to our attorney, it is directed.
Okay.
I understand there's a difference of opinion on that, but that's what
but the legal information that you've received from the district attorney, the Wheatland district's attorney says that this is a requirement, a law the school must follow. And what would be the consequences if the school did not follow?
Well, the threat of sanctions is funding and going after individual staff members' credentials.
Could you clarify on that?
So a teacher has to have a teaching credential in order to be a teacher.
Okay.
So if they do not enforce the mandate based on the letter that we received from the state can file a disciplinary hearing at the CDC, CTC, which is the Commission of Teacher Credentialing, and ultimately they can have their credentials removed, which means they can no longer have it.
So can I reiterate, I want to make sure that I understand that correctly. So if the school agrees to not follow the directive of the state, the individual teachers, even though they're just following what's recommended by the school, could lose their teaching credentials. So these great teachers that we have now would not be able to keep teaching our kids.
That's what the letter says, yes.
Okay. And is there any, what would be, if you guys can't change it, what would be the way, a different way that we could change the California law?
Recall.
It's a state level issue. Is there anything that we could do here tonight that would change that? Change what the state says?
Honestly, there is.
Okay. Thank you.
We find a teacher that does not do this and we'll pay the wages correctly to our students.
That'll do that.
Can I just find a question for white? One of my four children was sent home for being in close contact with someone.
There's
too much problem behind you. Next up, they can hear Jennifer White.
I know, I'm going to stand in the back. I know y'all can hear me. How are you getting your figures in? Are parents just calling in and saying, hey, I tested my kid this morning, he tested positive, and then you go from there and spread it all? Or are you guys seeing the positive results? Are parents bringing them to you? Because all I got was a phone call, my child wasn't even notified, that he's got to be quarantined for 10 days. He sleeps in a room with his three other brothers, but none of the other ones are in trouble, which is not in trouble, that was a long term. right, exactly. So how are you getting your information from parents?
So I'll let Angela chime in if I get it wrong, but we are getting positive results have to be sent to her